Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We've got a great message today on the cross and how it pertains to Christ's cross and our individual lives. And to discuss that, we have Brother Travis Bryan III on the line. Hello, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good to be with you this morning. Fine.
Excellent, brother. It's Cross Conference Week, and looking forward to another blessed Cross Conference. If you were unable, saints, to make it to this one, I hope you'll stay tuned for the next one, some of the upcoming ones, and pray about taking a weekend to come and camp out, if you will, as Brother Travis says, on this message of the cross. But in the meantime, we have connection together via technology and via this radio program, and we praise God for Brother Travis, who has this message of the cross, the revelation thereof, in powerful fashion. As I know many of you have experienced life change through this radio program, and may God continue to bless that and cause us to truly be anointed, if you will, to the burial, death and burial of self, that Christ alone might reign in our thoughts, our inner man, and in our lives. Brother Travis, the message today that you put together is called Bible Words Redefined by the Cross. That's a revolutionary title, huh?
It is, Todd, and you know, Jesus and his apostles bringing his message turned the world upside down, Todd. And Jesus said, you know, you have ears to hear, but you cannot hear. You have eyes to see, but you're blind. And there is a radical change in our understanding, and it can only be reached through the lens of the cross. The way we see God, the way we see life, the way we see ourselves, and the way we read the Bible is turned upside down. Todd, I really believe that's, at least symbolically, what it means in there in John when Jesus went in there and overthrew those tables of religion. Jesus entered the temple of our hearts now, and he overturns our total way of thinking to this new way of seeing, Todd, and a lot of it is captured in this piece I've written today in our discussion, that words, for instance, last time we discussed the word judgment, is totally redefined through the lens of the cross, Todd, as well as many other concepts and words that we think we know with a worldly understanding, a natural understanding that has to change, Todd. We need to have the veil taken off our eyes.
Amen, brother. And saints, in order to grasp or be impregnated, if you will, imbued with this revelation, like any in our walk with God, we've got to engage our hearts. God is not looking for and is not pleased with a robotic type relationship with us. He looks on the heart, the scripture tells us. And Jeremiah 30:21 speaks of, who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And I would ask myself, is my heart engaged to approach, to come to God, to seek God? I hope that would be our heart posture today, Brother Travis, so that we can grasp this New Testament revelation, because this is definitely not only a revelation, but revolutionary. In contrast, numerous, I think it's over a dozen Old Testament words that have been, would you say, redefined, brother, under the New Covenant?
Redefined, re-understood, radically different.
Yeah.
From our... I wouldn't just confine it to the Old Testament, Todd. It's it's the worldly understanding of stuff.
It
has to be totally changed.
Amen. Well, if you
we try
like,
to
I
read the
start.
Bible with natural concepts, Todd, and it can't be. You have to die to read the Bible. You have to die to your natural understanding. And the Bible kills you. You first read it and you think, I can't ever understand this. Well, don't put it down. Just give up your ability to understand it. Die, and then the Lord will raise you up with a new understanding of these texts, Todd.
Amen, amen, amen. And that is the cross in our daily life, saints, where we choose to prefer Christ above ourselves, loving him above ourselves and everything and everyone else, and therefore we yield or we consent to the death and burial, and then
exactly.
He raises us up and brings that revelation and brings his glory and his grace. And that, I don't know about you, but I want that resurrection life in my personal life. Lived enough days to the glory of self, and that's pretty miserable, isn't it? That's
it is,
the Bible does.
In matter of fact, life is one of our words. We have to die to this old life and receive a new life and be regenerated, be born again, be born from above, God. And so resurrection life is the only way you can live the Christian life. And, of course, that is only attained through the cross, Todd, death with Christ.
Amen. Can't be a resurrection until this first a death and burial. Now, the first one here, and I love the way you put this one first, is love. Conditional versus unconditional. And if you'd like at any point in this list, brother, for me to stop and read some of these passages, I know the Matthew 5:43-48 is probably the most revolutionary passage that impacts my personal life. In this matter of the change of these terms or these words, if you will, where he tells us to love our enemies. You have said
that'd be a good one to read, Todd.
You got it. Matthew 5:43-48. You have heard Jesus said that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He maketh his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:43-48. Amen, brother. It's a whole different
ballgame.
And
the Father in heaven has perfect love, Todd, an unconditional love for mankind. But we're so wedded to this idea. It's in our DNA. We're raised on it. It's just so hard to die to that we are conditional lovers. We can love those who love us, and we can be kind to those who treat us with kindness. But this idea of loving everybody, especially the wicked and the enemies, the unjust, and those that persecute us and do evil things to us, Todd, that is totally foreign to the natural mind. But that is a radical change that Jesus and his apostles, especially Paul and the apostle John, brought to our understanding, is that we are to love everyone without regard to their performance. And so this is a radical change, Todd, from the way the natural mind thinks. And that's why Jesus is right here graphically giving this comparison of the way it used to be and the way it now should be. And, of course,
amen.
it says, be perfect even as the Heavenly Father. See, because this is the way the Father in heaven is. Jesus is telling us the way his Father is, and when we understand that, we begin to act and respond to life the way our Father does instead of the way we're naturally built to respond to it, Todd.
Amen. Yeah, exactly. The last statement there many times is taken out of context, saints, and used to preach sinless perfectionism. No, Jesus is saying here, listen, I've given you the new way here, and I want you to be perfect or mature. If you look up the Greek word perfect, I want you to be mature in your understanding. I want you to adjust and change and begin to see this way of life here through the cross. Because Matthew 5 through 7 is the longest sermon on record of Jesus. It's the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is not to be done in order to try to become a Christian. It's the walk of a Christian, somebody that's already a born-again, a regenerated believer. And as such, we're to be mature in our thinking as he's telling us how the Father unconditionally loves and that we're to love even our enemies. And the only way we can do that is to be dead. Calvary couldn't happen without Gethsemane. That's when the dying happens, if you will. And so if we're living a crucified life, when those tests come up, when somebody says something about us or writes something about us or slanders us or whatever it may be, we're able to, through the resurrection life of Christ, who came to die for all of us while we were yet sinners, we're able to love our enemies and bless those that curse us. Boy, that's got to be a work of God, doesn't it, Brother Travis?
Amen, brother. And of course, Jesus, he lived this lifestyle of the cross even before the cross, and he lived it at the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, they were, scourging him, mocking him, spitting on him, driving nails and humiliating him, stripping him, and yet he is there praying for them, Todd. What a thing for us to aspire to as Christians. You can't try to do these things, Todd. You just have to get out of the way and let the Lord Jesus live through you, which is a whole different way of looking at it, that we let these things happen instead of trying hard to do these things. The natural man cannot do these things. Only Christ,
Amen,
living through the believer can accomplish these things.
Amen, brother. Now, is it fair to say that the Christian life is not about trying harder, but dying deeper?
I agree with that, Todd. And of course, life will bring these death situations to you. Satan, as in the book of Job, he will bring down the, quote, fire of God from heaven. And that is the moment when it starts, Todd, right there. What do you do in that moment? There is the key to this death. And we don't, it's not something we do. It is something that happens to us and we face through.
Amen, brother. Now, John 5:30, Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. Now, is that an indication that Jesus totally surrendered to the Father, brother? Is that the cross, before the cross?
It is, and for a vine to produce fruit, it has to receive the sap and the nurture of the husbandman. And so we are part of the vine. We're connected and ready to receive. Todd, we can't manifest anything we don't already receive. We can't generate it on our own. We can't conjure it up. We can't set our mind and dedicate ourselves to get it done. It's just we are not the initiators of this Christian life, Todd. The legalist believes that he is the initiator of the Christian life, and we are responders. We respond to God's love, which is shown to us in this great passage we just looked at. And when you get ready to move on, Todd, let's take up the word resist, because we see that in this same passage. The way we resist evil is totally different from the way it is in the natural mindset. The word resist is found in verse 39.
Yes. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Amen.
Now,
we just did
that,
a program.
Todd.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. The way we resist is by absorbing blows, not by inflicting blows anymore. Now, let that soak in. And let's look at 1 Peter 5, and you can hold your place there in Matthew 5 and go over to 1 Peter 5. We see the word resist again. And these start to come together and teach us that the way we resist evil is through love, not through violence, not through counter actions, not through you know, the way the world believes, put up a wall to resist evil. We walk out into the world and we become lambs in the midst of the wolves. And that is the way we resist the wolves, Todd. Now, that's so radically upside down from the way the world thinks. It would be 1 Peter 5, let's begin
nine,
in verse
yeah.
8. The word resist is found in verse 9.
Okay, verse 7, 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen.
Keep going on down to 10, Todd.
Yeah, I love it.
The
but the God
for a while.
Yeah, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen.
Now, you see in there that the way we resist is by absorbing the blows, by taking the suffering, by enduring the affliction in faith. That is not a weak in terms of the world thinks that's weak. The world thinks that's doormat theology. Well, no, it's not. We actually have an active opposition against evil by absorbing the blows. This is the key component in destroying evil, Todd. The cross. Jesus destroyed evil by turning the other cheek at the cross. Think about that. That's what it means to take up the cross, to endure the suffering that Satan and the world, the adversaries, bring against us, and to love people through this. Here we find the actual crucial element in victory for Christ over evil, Todd, through the cross.
Amen, brother. We cast all our care upon him in this matter, huh?
Exactly. and take those afflictions and that suffering. You'll only suffer for a while. And so when it says in 1 Peter 4, arm yourselves with this mindset. Don't arm yourselves with a worldly mindset of how to combat or how to fight the war. Jesus said, you know, these people are not of my kingdom. If they were, they would fight. He's saying that we fight in a different way.
Amen, brother. And Jesus conquered death through dying. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. And here's the reason why, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Amen. Jesus took the keys back, didn't he, brother? Revelation 1:18.
He did, brother. And, you know, this is the way we destroy it. We, when we take up the cross, it's the same principle that we destroy death. That means the enemy. We destroy the enemies, our enemies, whoever they are, whatever it is, by dying, not by active retaliation, but by dying, by enduring, by sinking low, by getting down into humility, Todd. The meek will inherit the earth, not the strong, not the violent, not the ones that have the greater threat of force, but the meek will inherit the earth. See, that's why they could not handle Jesus, is he brought a whole new way of thinking that contradicted all of their religious underpinnings. And they hated him for that. They expected somebody on a white horse to ride in with a sword and lead a great army into victory over the Romans, and he comes riding in on a donkey, Todd. Now, there shows you the radical upside-downness of his teaching, Todd.
Amen. You know, Brother Travis, help me with this. As you're talking, I'm realizing the revelation is there. It seems that, you know, we in the evangelical world, we look up at what Jesus did, and that has to be for us. But his teachings are such that he's telling us to enact that same gospel in our same life, in our personal lives, right? That
absolutely.
Death, burial, and resurrection, as you call it, the rhythm of the gospel every day, right?
Get into the rhythm. And Matthew 5 through 7, Todd, is the mind of God. And so when I say let Christ live through you, that's the same as saying let the Spirit live through you. Let God the Father live through you. Let the Trinity live through you, because this is their mind. And when you let them live through you, this is the way your life will look. And that's a powerful thing, but it only flows out of the power to do this, the awareness of it, the actual ability to understand how it works, Todd, is only found first through the death. You have to start losing and unlearning and dropping concepts that you've learned all of your life. And that only happens through the only thing that can destabilize the selfish mind, Todd, the religious mind, the legalistic mind, is suffering. This is what knocks this arrogant self off its throne and gives first the opportunity to Christ to ascend in your heart and take the throne of your heart. I'm not there yet. I mean, we're all in a process of that happening, but praise God, it is happening. And
wait, amen.
If you're out there listening to this, get in this fight. It's a fight of love, it's a fight of surrender, and it's a fight of yielding and letting Christ have his way in your life, Todd.
Amen, Brother Travis. And at that, saints, please avail yourself to these messages, because every one of them, without exception, is on the cross, on these interviews with beloved Brother Travis Bryan III. Just click on the Safeguard Your Soul Blog Talk Radio graphic on the ministry website, safeguardyoursoul.com, or go to Daily Cross. That's one of the many categories. There's a drop-down menu right at the top right on every page, or toward the top, I should say. Just click the little arrow, and it'll drop down. Just put in D for Daily Cross and scroll down and get enmeshed, if you will. Get lost in this message, saturated. You know, Brother Travis, before we go to the next point, you were talking about suffering. After, notice in the passage we just read, 1 Peter 5:10, it's only after we have suffered a while,
mm-hmm.
that God is going to make us perfect or mature. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what I call the psst. Come here, I've got a little secret for you. It's a very important kingdom truth, because it's a natural acronym in the King James, PSSS. If we want to be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled, we must faith it through in the cross these times and seasons of suffering. And like you said, Brother Travis, that's the only thing that is going to allow us to learn so many kingdom truths. Suffering is part and parcel with living for Christ, to suffer the death on the cross at the hands of wicked sinners, as we, his people, suffer every day, persecution and many other things that just happen to us in this world. Now, this is a list of 16 Bible words that are redefined, if you will, I hope that's a good term, or the concepts thereof in the new covenant that Christ came and brought and taught. And that's going to be on the ministry website under Daily Cross. Or you can just go to the search box and put in Bible Words Redefined. This message here is called Bible Words Redefined by the Cross. And go ahead, Brother Travis.
Todd, let's take up the word conquer. Boy, there's one that, you know, the way we conquer is upside down to what the world sees as conquering methods. And that's Romans 8, 35 through 37.
Yeah. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 35 through 37, and it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You want me to keep reading?
No, I think that's good, Todd. But look at verse 37. We have more than conquerors in all these things. Now, what things? Well, go back to 35. Things that try to separate us. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Those are all tools of Satan. Those are the things the enemy brings against us. And we suffer in those situations. And what happens is we die. Look at 36. For thy sake we are killed all the day long, Todd. But then in all these things, in this being killed, in this persecution, famine, sword, etc., tribulation, we become more than conquerors. Now, what a paradox that is, that by dying we conquer, Todd. And so
Amen.
We are killed, we're killed conquerors. You can't conquer except through the cross. You can't win the victory in your natural flesh. You got to die to be elevated to the throne. And then you have a passage like Revelation 5, 6, where they were looking for a lion. You see, the natural mind looks for a lion to come in and tear apart the enemy. And what do they see when they actually behold a lamb standing as it had been slain? Todd, now there's a kill conqueror right there. Christ, our great example, our great archetype. He's standing. That's a conquering position on the throne. And yet he is slain as if he had just been slain.
So
there's
no way
to conquer except through the cross, Todd. That
Amen, brother.
Concept, the natural mind does not have eyes to see, Todd. Let's pray that the veil would come off our eyes to see who and what God really is incarnated in his Son.
Amen.
And then our whole radical approach, our whole approach would be radically changed, Todd.
Amen. Brother, would you say that the lamb represents the death and burial and the lion, the resurrection?
I just can't go there, Todd. I mean, it only says lion one time, and they actually behold a lamb. So the rest of the time, some 27 times through all the conquering, it's the lamb, the wrath of the lamb
Amen.
And then you have this Romans 16:20, which says the peace of God shall crush or bruise Satan under your feet. See, it's not violence that will ever win the victory, ever. That's not who God is.
Amen.
It's the peace, the love, the absorption of blows, the sinking down, the humbling of yourself, the meekness that will win the victory, Todd. Never
Praise
violence,
the Lord.
Never anger, never the fury of retaliation. It just isn't God, Todd. The cross.
Amen, God. Yes, indeed. Well, saints, there's 16 of these words redefined under the New Testament. Please look at them on safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And God bless you, Brother Travis. Great message.
Todd, thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.